Chapter 16. Her undoubtedly remarkable narrative powers, but we question if much good can result from such a form of entertainment. Nevertheless, some praise is due. We have had the novel writer among us for some time, and the novel reader has occasionally appeared on our platforms. But we believe that this is the first instance on record of a novel teller one, that is to say, who relates professedly as fiction a romantic tale which has never been printed the whole owing its chief interest to the method whereby the teller identifies herself with the leading character in the story. Another observed. When once we get away from the magic influence of the storyteller's iambic tongue, we perceive how improbable, even impossible, is the tissue of events to which we have been listening with so great a sense of reality, and we feel almost angry with ourselves at having been the victims of such utter illusion. Mrs. Peterwin's personal appearance is decidedly in her favor, said another. She affects no unconsciousness of the fact that form and feature are no mean vehicles of persuasion, and she uses the powers of each to the utmost. There spreads upon her face, when in repose, an air of innocence which is charmingly belied by the subtlety we discover beneath it, when she begins her tale. And this amusing discrepancy between her physical presentment and the inner woman is further illustrated by the misgiving, which seizes us on her entrance, that so impressionable a lady will never bear up in the face of so trying an audience. The combinations of incident which Mrs. Peterwin persuades her hearers that as he has passed through are not a little marvelous. And if what is rumored be true, that the tales are to a great extent based upon her own experiences, as he has proved herself to be no less daring in adventure than facile in her power of describing it. 17. Ethelberta's house, after such successes as these, Christopher could not forego the seductive intention of calling upon the poetess and romancer at her now established town residence in Exonbury Crescent. One wintry afternoon he reached the door now for the third time, and gave a knock which had in it every tender refinement that could be thrown into the somewhat antagonistic vehicle of noise. Turning his face down the street, he waited restlessly on the step. There was a strange light in the atmosphere. The glass of the street lamps, the varnished back of a passing cab, a milkwoman's cans, and a row of church windows glared in his eyes like new rubbed copper, and on looking the other way he beheld a bloody sun hanging among the chimneys at the upper end, as a danger lamp to warn him off. By this time the door was opened, and before him stood Ethelberta's young brother Joey, thickly populated with little buttons, the remainder of him consisting of invisible green. "Ah, Joseph," said Christopher, instantly recognizing the boy. "What, are you here in office?" "Is your apostrophe," Joey lifted his forefinger, and spread his mouth in a genial manner, as if to signify particular friendliness mingled with general caution. "Yes, sir, Mrs. Peterwin is my mistress. I'll see if she is at home, sir," he replied, raising his shoulders and winking a wink of strategic meanings by way of finish, all which signs showed, if evidence were wanted, how effectually this pleasant young page understood, though quite fresh from Wessex, the duties of his peculiar position. Mr. Julian was shown to the drawing room, and there he found Ethelberta alone. She gave him a hand so cool and still that Christopher, much as he desired the contact, was literally ashamed to let her see and feel his own, trembling with unmanageable excess of feeling. It was always so, always had been so, always would be so, at these meetings of theirs. She was immeasurably the strongest. And the deep-eyed young man fancied, in the chagrin which the perception of this difference always bred in him, that she triumphed in her superior control. Yet it was only in little things that their sexes were thus reversed. Christopher would receive quite a shock if a little dog barked at his heels, and be totally unmoved when in danger of his life. certainly the most self-possessed woman in the world, under pressure of the incongruity between their last meeting and the present one, might have shown more embarrassment than Ethelberta showed on greeting him today. Christopher was only a man in believing that the shyness which he did evince was chiefly the result of personal interest. She might or might not have been said to blush. Perhaps the stealthy change upon her face was too slow an operation to deserve that name. But, though pale when he called, the end of 10 minutes saw her color high and wide. She soon set him at his ease, and seemed to relax a long-sustained tension as she talked to him of her arrangements, hopes, and fears. "And how do you like London society?" said Ethelberta. "Pretty well, as far as I have seen it. To the surface of its front door. You will find nothing to be alarmed at if you get inside. Oh no, of course, not except my own shortcomings," said the modest musician. "London society is made up of much more refined people than society anywhere else. That's a very prevalent opinion, and it is nowhere half so prevalent as in London society itself. However, come and see my house, unless you think it a trouble to look over a house. No, I should like it very much." The decorations tended towards the artistic gymnastics prevalent in some quarters at the present day. Upon a general flat tint of duck's egg green appeared quaint patterns of conventional foliage, and birds, done in bright auburn, several shades nearer to red-breast red than was Ethelberta's hair, which was thus thrust further towards brown by such juxtaposition a possible reason for the choice of tint. Upon the glazed tiles within the chimney piece were the forms of owls, bats, snakes, frogs, mice, spiders in their webs, moles, and other objects of aversion and darkness, shaped in black and burnt in after the approved fashion. "My brother's soul and dad did most of the actual work," said Ethelberta, "though I drew the outlines and designed the tiles round the fire. The flowers, mice, and spiders are done very simply, you know. You only press a real flower, mouse, or spider out flat under a piece of glass, and then copy it, adding a little more emaciation and angularity at pleasure. And that tea pleasure is where all the art lies," said he. "Well, yes, that is the case," said Ethelberta thoughtfully. And preceding him upstairs, she threw open a door on one of the floors, disclosing Dan in person, engaged upon a similar treatment of this floor also. Soul appeared bulging from the door of a closet, a little further on, where he was fixing some shelves, and both wore workmen's blouses. At once coming down from the short ladder he was standing upon, Dan shook Christopher's hand with some velocity. "We do a little at a time, you see," he said, "because Colonel down below, and Mrs. Peterwin's visitors, shan't smell the turpentine. We be pushing on today, to get it out of the way," said Sol, also coming forward, and greeting their visitor, but more reluctantly than his brother had done. "Now I'll tell ye what you two," he added, after an uneasy pause, turning from Christopher to Ethelberta and back again in great earnestness. "You'd better not bide here, talking to we rough ones, you know, for folks might find out that there's something closer between us than workman and employer and employer's friend. So Berta and Mr. Julian, if you'll go on and take no more notice o' us, in case of visitors, it would be wiser else, perhaps, if we should be found out intimate with ye, and bring down your gentility, you'll blame us for it. I get as nervous as a cat when I think I may be the cause of any disgrace to ye." "Don't be so silly, Sol," said Ethelberta, laughing. "Ah, that's all very well," said Sol, with an unbelieving smile. "But if we bain't company for you out of doors, you bain't company for we within. Not that I find fault with ye or mind it, and shan't take anything for painting your house, nor will Dan neither, any more for that, no, not a penny. In fact, we are glad to do it free. At the same time, you keep to your class, and we'll keep to ours. And so, good afternoon, Berta, when you like to go, and the same to you, Mr. Julian. Dan, is that your mind? Apostrophe, I can but own it, apostrophe said Dan. The two brothers then turned their backs upon their visitors, and went on working, and Ethelberta and her lover left the room. My brothers, you perceive, apostrophe said she, represent the respectable British workman in his entirety, and a touchy individual he is, I assure you, on points of dignity, after imbibing a few town ideas from his leaders. They are painfully offhand with me, absolutely refusing to be intimate, from a mistaken notion, that I am ashamed of their dress and manners, which, of course, is absurd. Apostrophe apostrophe, which, of course, is absurd, apostrophe said Christopher. Of course it is absurd. Apostrophe apostrophe she repeated with warmth, and looking keenly at him. But, finding no harm in his face, she continued as before. Yet, all the time, they will do anything under the sun, that they think, will advance my interests. In our hearts we are one. All they ask me to do, is to leave them to themselves, and therefore I do so. Now, would you like to see some more of your acquaintance? Apostrophe apostrophe, she introduced him to a large attic, where he found himself in the society of two or three persons considerably below the middle height, whose manners were of that gushing kind sometimes called continental, their ages ranging from 5 years to 8. These were the youngest children, presided over by Emline, as professor of letters, capital and small. I am giving them the rudiments of education here, apostrophe said Ethelberta, but I foresee several difficulties in the way of keeping them here, which I must get over as best I can. One trouble is, that they don't get enough air and exercise. Apostrophe apostrophe, is Mrs. Chickerell living here as well? Apostrophe apostrophe Christopher ventured to inquire, when they were downstairs again. Yes, but confined to her room as usual, I regret to say. Two more sisters of mine, whom you have never seen at all, are also here. They are older than any of the rest of us, and had, broadly speaking, no education at all, poor girls. The eldest, Gwendoline, is my cook, and Cornelia is my housemaid. I suffer much sadness, and almost misery sometimes, in reflecting that here are we, 10 brothers and sisters, born of one father and mother, who might have mixed together, and shared all in the same scenes, and been properly happy, if it were not for the strange accidents, that have split us up in two sections as you see, cutting me off from them without the compensation of joining me to any others. They are all true as steel in keeping the secret of our kin, certainly, but that brings little joy, though some satisfaction perhaps. Apostrophe apostrophe, you might be less despondent, I think. The tale-telling has been one of the successes of the season. Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, I might, but I may observe, that you scarcely set the example of blitheness. Apostrophe apostrophe, ah that's not because I don't recognize the pleasure of being here. It is from a more general cause. Simply an underfeeling I have that at the most propitious moment the distance to the possibility of sorrow is so short, that a man's spirits must not rise higher than mere cheerfulness out of bare respect to his insight. As long as skies are blue, and fields are green, evening must usher night, night urge the morrow, month follow month with woe, and year wake year to sorrow. Apostrophe apostrophe, Ethelberta bowed uncertainly. The remark might refer to her past conduct, or it might not. My great cause of uneasiness is the children, apostrophe she presently said, as a new page of matter. It is my duty, at all risk and all sacrifice of sentiment, to educate and provide for them. The grown-up ones, older than myself, I cannot help much, but the little ones I can. I keep my two French lodgers for the sake of them. Apostrophe apostrophe, the lodgers, of course, don't know the relationship between yourself and the rest of the people in the house? apostrophe apostrophe, oh no, nor will they ever. My mother is supposed to let the ground and first floors to me, a strange lady, as she does the second and third floors to them. Still, I may be discovered. Apostrophe, well if you are. Apostrophe apostrophe, let me be. Life is a battle, they say, but it is only so in the sense that a game of chess is a battle. There is no seriousness in it. It may be put an end to at any inconvenient moment by owning yourself beaten with a careless aha and sweeping your pieces into the box. Experimentally, I care to succeed in society, but at the bottom of my heart, I don't care. Apostrophe apostrophe, for that very reason you are likely to do it. My idea is, make ambition your business and indifference your relaxation, and you will fail, but make indifference your business and ambition your relaxation, and you will succeed. So impish are the ways of the gods. Apostrophe apostrophe, I hope that you at any rate will succeed, apostrophe she said, at the end of a silence. I never can, if success means getting what one wants. Apostrophe apostrophe, why should you not get that? Apostrophe apostrophe, it has been forbidden to me. Apostrophe apostrophe, her complexion changed just enough to show that she knew what he meant. If you were as bold as you are subtle, you would take a more cheerful view of the matter, apostrophe she said, with a look signifying innermost things. I will instantly. Shall I test the truth of my cheerful view by a word of question? Apostrophe apostrophe, I deny that you are capable of taking that view, and until you prove that you are, no question is allowed, apostrophe she said, laughing, and still warmer in the face and neck. Nothing but melancholy, gentle melancholy, now as in old times, when there was nothing to cause it. Apostrophe apostrophe, I you only tease. Apostrophe apostrophe, you will not throw aside that bitter medicine of distrust for the world. You have grown so used to it that you take it as food, as some invalids do their mixtures. Apostrophe apostrophe, Ethelberta, you have my heart, my whole heart. You have had it ever since I first saw you. Now you understand me, and no pretending that you don't mind this second time. Apostrophe apostrophe, I understood you long ago, you have not understood me. Apostrophe apostrophe, you are mysterious, apostrophe he said lightly, and perhaps if I disentangle your mystery I shall find it to cover indifference. I hope it does for your sake. Apostrophe apostrophe, how can you say so? Apostrophe apostrophe, she exclaimed reproachfully. Yet I wish it did too, I wish it did cover indifference for yours. But you have all of me that you care to have, and may keep it for life, if you... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.